beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Good morning, Evanston. I'm Tina.
I've got a beautiful feeling.
That's Keith.
Everything's going my way.
Just ignore him, I guess. We're glad you are here with us this morning. And while our ushers are coming down to collect the offering, we have a few things we want to share with you.
So, if it's your first time with us this morning, or you've been coming for years, there's a place for you at Evanston.
And Daniel is back to tell us how you can get connected here at Evanston.
Here's Daniel!
What has gotten into you?
Oh. Hi, I'm Daniel, and we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. Our children's and our youth programs are currently on their summer break, but that doesn't mean we don't have anything for them. Hype will be meeting every other week during the summer, but there are a few exceptions, so you'll want to check your calendar for that. For the adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners. That'll be the last Sunday of every month. We also have our men's golf and our ladies' meetings. We also have a lot of volunteer opportunities available, so please talk to us about those if you're interested. If you're like me and can't remember these dates after the sermon, then check out the website. It's got all of our events and dates on there. So no matter where you're at in your journey, there's something for you.
Hey, Keith.
What?
Where's the bulletin?
Don't worry. Got you covered.
Awesome. Thanks. If I didn't have my bulletin, I wouldn't know what's going on this week or have my connection card.
It's okay, but...
No, you don't understand. I use that card to let the church know when I need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact me.
It's okay. Now you have it, so why don't you fill it out, take a few deep breaths, and then leave it on the pew when you're done. You as well. But also remember, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
That's right. The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for.
We post some pretty interesting articles and resources there a couple times a week, so you are definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to evanstonavenuebaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt. But first, there are a few more things we need to share with you.
If you missed last week's community celebration, don't fret. We have a snapshot of the day for you.
So check it out.
I'm reminded now of the description of a fallen humanity in the book of Judges, where all of a sudden people start doing only what's right in their own sight. And if I don't say anything else this morning, I want to encourage you to do it God's way. That God's not running a celestial Burger King where you can have it your way. That you can hold the pickles and hold the lettuce, but somehow we better not forget that God has called us to a posture of embracing all people at all times.
Today was awesome. I loved it. I love the interaction with the whole community. Praise and worship was good, and the word was awesome. We should do it more often.
What a great, beautiful day God blessed us with today, and the information and the unity and the everything. It was just awesome. I think we should do it every week. That's my opinion, but it was great. Thanks. God bless y'all.
Awesome.
I loved it.
Loved it? Okay.
I loved it.
It was a very good preacher.
The first preacher that preached the whole thing.
But I'm amazed how quickly I default to my carnal mind when I'm uncomfortable, or when I've been inconvenienced, or when I've been offended or insulted. That my thoughts immediately go to retaliation and revenge. I want to make you pay for hurting me and offending me and insulting me. But Paul says that only brings division. That I can still have that as a concern and a consideration, but I need to pause and pray to get to the mindset of Christ. That I forgive forgive those who spitefully use me. And when people do the wrong thing, when I've given them the right thing, I forgive them 70 times 7. And that I don't lead with my woundedness, but my desire for reconciliation and humanity. Christ paved the way for my service by going further.
Cool to see all the churches together, the pastors uniting. Thumbs up for Pastor Evans, Dr. Evans, who preached just a great day. Great day.
Yes, you thought it was real nice. We'd like to hear him preach again sometime in the future. I was here for all of it and heard it.
It was excellent.
You know, excellent narration.
I praise God for the unity. I thank God for the churches coming together in unity. I praise God for Pastor Evans. He really spoke the word of God. And it was just such a refreshing opportunity to see this come together.
He becomes nothing so that I can be something. Think about the last week of your life. Is there a place where you became nothing so somebody else could be something? Is there a time in that past 7 days where you identified with somebody else's brokenness enough to commit to bringing them to some hope? Have you forgone your advantage, not doing what was in your best interest, but was in the best interest of somebody else? That's unity and community.
And we've got more great news. Bible Times Club and Hype are back.
Hype is for youth in 6th through 12th grade, and they meet upstairs for engaging activities and worship.
And Bible Times Club is our Sunday night program for kids 5th grade and below, with Bible lessons, games, and activities.
So bring your kids out for some great Bible teaching and activities at their level.
Finally, starting next week, we'll have 2 new adult Sunday school classes.
You can pick from Pastor Matt's class on the Disciples Path or Darren's study on 1 John.
Both classes start September 24th at 9:30, so we'll see you there.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, Break Open the Sky, with his sermon on intercession. Well?
What?
No song or dance?
Don't be silly. That would be so unprofessional.
I don't know.
Here's Pastor Matt.
Well, guys, I got to be honest with you. Even hearing a small snippet of Dr. Evans preaching last week, I feel like I should just say, amen, we're done, and let's call it a day. But I won't. So I will invite our ushers to come forward so we can pray for our offering, we can pray for our time in the Word together. And while they're coming forward, I have been asked by the youth group to let you guys know that, because some people have asked me, where do you get the Evanston Avenue Baptist t-shirts at? The youth group sells them because of an excessive demand for more. Joy will be out back. If you guys would like to have your very own Evanston Avenue Baptist t-shirt, you can talk to her and place that order. I've been asked to let you know that as well. Amen? Or if you're like me and like having more than one of the same shirt, you're permitted to do that as well if you want more. So, but let's pray. Father, we bless your name. We thank you for all that you have done for us and in us, Lord. We thank you for everything that you have brought into our lives. And Lord, as we give back to you just a small portion of what you have given us, Lord, we ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it was given. Father, we ask that you take everything that we have given and use it to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon on the corner of Evanston and Roberts, and Lord, also around the world. Father, we thank you for the time we could fellowship together as one body in Christ last week. Lord, we pray for a blessing on all the other churches that we're celebrating. Lord, continue to draw to all of us people that need to hear your word. Father, as we open that word together, we just ask your Holy Spirit to seep deep into our heart of hearts, Lord. Transform us from who we are into who you would have us to be. And Father, as the pastor, I simply ask that any word that comes from me would fall to the ground, and that every word that is from you would endure forever and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, my friends, we're talking about prayer today. I love prayer, and I'm terrible at prayer. Anyone else kind of in that same boat where you just kind of feel like, man, my prayer life just does not ever really measure up? And I love it when people ask me, like, Matt, you're a pastor. Could you please pray for me? Absolutely. I love praying for you guys. I pray for you guys all the time. I still don't know what I'm doing in prayer. Yeah, there's still that part of me that feels like, man, I wish I could do this better. I wish that I could pray for people more effectively. So I don't think we ever reach that point where we're going to go, nailed it, I got this prayer thing down. Because I think anytime we try to break open the sky and speak with the creator of the universe, I think by just the fact of doing that, we're going to wind up going, man, there's still more I could learn. There's still deeper that I can go into my fellowship and into my relationship with my Heavenly Father. So I love taking some time to just talk about prayer and how we can do it more effectively and how we can just enjoy sharing in fellowship with God more. For those of you that didn't hear, when we started this series, the phrase "break open the sky" actually comes from a song by the Christian recording artist Toby Mac, where that's where he describes what prayer is, where we're breaking open the sky to just enjoy and celebrate how great and wonderful God is in our lives. So that's what we're going to be doing today and talking about that a little bit. We'll get rolling here in just a minute, but if I could, before we get into the message, before I forget, before it slips my mind, thank you. Thank you, Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. When I was up here 2 weeks ago, I asked us, could we please, when we gather for worship, when we gather to reach our community, when we gather to celebrate God's grace together, could we please go second? You know, whatever that looks like, can we please not make it about us as Evanston Avenue Baptist Church? And I love you guys. Thank you so much for doing that. When I was walking around and seeing people and talking to people, I did not see a big conglomeration of Evanston people. What I saw was us talking to other Christians. What I saw was us mingling with the community and making God's presence known. And I really walked away, and as I was talking to other pastors, we were all just feeling like, yes, we did it. We were able in unity to come together and say our God is what binds us together, not our church, not our building, not our pastor. It was Jesus Christ that we put front and center on Sunday. So thank you guys so very much for making that happen. Okay, is that cool? Thank you guys. This deserves a round of applause. This is a huge thing that we've done, you know, for God's glory. Amen? And so, and I love God's sense of timing, because the passage that we're going to be in today is going to talk about that a little bit, but we're going to be looking at it for the context of prayer. But today, we're going to talk about this thing called intercession. It's a huge word. People throw it around a lot. Intercession, interceding, intercessory prayer. It's a big church word. And I want to make sure that we really unpack it and understand, you know, what does it mean that God calls us to do intercession when we pray? So let me unpack it this way just a little bit. How many of you like reading stories, fiction, books, good stuff? A lot of my reading is dictated by the work and the schooling and the such that I do, so I don't get a chance to read a ton of fiction. But when I do, I tend to enjoy things like The Lord of the Rings, The Chronicles of Narnia. I love the things that kind of transport me into a different world, into a different time, in outer space or whatever. I love science fiction. The one exception to that rule is I do enjoy Sherlock Holmes. Anyone else, any other fans of Sherlock Holmes out there? In all the old and the new formats of Sherlock Holmes is great. I grew up actually watching the old Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes, right? The old Sheriff of Nottingham who became Sherlock, and John Watson, of course. And I love that stuff. And so I was really intrigued when I found another author that kind of was writing in the same vein. It was a woman by the name of Dorothy Sayers. She's not as popular. I have not read her work, so this is kind of me at a secondhand disadvantage. But I started to find out a little bit more. Her her character, her detective, her sleuth, her version of Sherlock Holmes is Lord Peter Wimsey. What a great British name for a hero. The hero named Wimsey. Really? Okay, it works for him. And there was a number of books that came out, and of course he's the detective and he would put everything together, but as she created this character, she realized that he was basically a lonely, broken bachelor who was kind of unhappy and just basically kind of miserable in life. And so after a couple of books, she introduced a new character into the story, a woman, a female character by the name of Harriet Vane. And Harriet was, in the story, she was one of the first females to ever graduate from Oxford College. And she was kind of the perfect counterpart to the hero. And she was a writer of mystery novels. And ultimately, as only can happen in fiction, they fell in love together. Aww. And as they fell in love, Lord Peter's character began to change. He began to experience healing. He began to be a new person. And so there's just this great, you know, example of this character coming in. And the reason I bring that up to talk about intercession is because ultimately the character of Harriet Vane was the author. Dorothy Sayers was one of the first women to ever graduate from Oxford College. She obviously was the writer of mystery stories. And as she built this character and as she developed him, she kind of started to feel like, man, I got to fix him in some way. And the only way that she knew how to do that was she actually wrote herself into the story. She actually wrote her own character into the story, gave herself a different name, but it was her. And she came into this character's life and actually started to do some healing work. And as I heard that story, I heard it in a different context, but I started to think that this is actually an example of what it means to do intercession, what it means to intercede on the part of somebody else. So here is the Matt Sharp definition of intercession when we're talking about prayer. Intercession is writing yourself into someone else's spiritual story. This is my definition of intercession. Because just like Dorothy, when she looked at this character that was part of her imaginary world, she said, man, I love this character and I need to do something, so I'm going to write myself into the story. In a lot of ways, in real life, that's what we do when we do intercession. When I say, I love you as your pastor and I care for you and I lift you up in prayer on a regular basis. I pray for you guys all the time. And when we do that, when we lift each other up in prayer, when we lift up the ones we love, what we are doing is something incredibly powerful. We are writing ourselves into someone else's spiritual story. Where we're saying, I need to be a part of this. I need to be involved in this person's life. Even if they don't ever know that I'm doing it, I'm writing myself into someone else's story. That's what intercession is. And what I love about the example we see in Scripture from Jesus is we see that this is exactly what Jesus has done. And I love the example of Dorothy Sayers simply because she created this world, she created this person, this character in fiction, and wrote herself into the story to heal him. And I love that because that's exactly what God has done to us, is it not? God has created this amazing world. God has filled this world with amazing, wonderful, yet broken and miserable characters, us. And he said, you know what? I got to do something. I got to do something to redeem this moment. I got to do something to bring healing into the lives of these characters, these people. And the thing that he did was he ultimately wrote himself into our story. I love that about our God. I love that about Jesus. He wrote himself into our story. So I want to invite you, I want you to join me in John chapter 17. Now, I was telling my life group this week as we were studying this passage, a lot of times we will talk about the Lord's Prayer. And when I ask someone, do you know the Lord's Prayer? And we say yes, we usually start by saying, Our Father who art in heaven. And that's what we call the Lord's Prayer. So, but I want to put this in front of you. What we call the Lord's Prayer really isn't. It's not the prayer. Jesus, the Lord, could not pray that prayer. Because if you go back and look at the context in Matthew and in Luke, it was the disciples who came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you teach us how we can pray? And he said, yes, this is what you do. And he kind of gave these categories. You know, you worship your holy Father in heaven. You ask him for the things you need. But the reason why Jesus could not pray the Lord's Prayer is when you get to that phrase where it says, forgive us for our sins. Jesus couldn't pray that. Jesus had no sins with which he needed to bring to the Father and say, forgive me for these sins. He didn't have any. What I submit for your consideration is what we see in John 17 is actually the Lord praying. Think about this. Of all the faiths in the world, think about this. Ours is the only one where God came down to us and prays for us. God's love for us is so deep that he looks at us, he writes himself into our story, and he says, not only am I going to be here, not only am I going to live in this perfect life as an example, not only am I going to suffer and die and rise again, not only am I going to do that, I'm also going to pray for you all the time. And even now, as the risen Lord Jesus is in heaven, he is still doing this. Jesus Christ prays for you all the time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I pray for you every now and again when I can. But I need to blink occasionally and, you know, sleep and other, you know, drive, you know, other things. So, I mean, I love praying for you guys. He's way better. Amen. He doesn't stop. Praise God. And here we see Jesus in John 17. He has washed his disciples' feet. Judas has taken off. He's going to go get the soldiers. And this is like the last thing that Jesus is doing with his disciples is he teaches them. He gives them these final pieces of information to get them ready for his death. And one of the last things he does is he begins to pray. Jesus praying. And that's what we want to zoom in on, is we're looking at intercession and how we write ourselves into other people's spiritual stories. We see how Jesus did it. Check out verse 1. It says this, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. And I love that expression, that he looked towards heaven. Because that's what it meant for a Jewish person to pray. You know, we tend to, you know, fold our hands and close our eyes, which is fine. We block out the distractions that are around us, and we can just focus in on prayer when we do that. But for the Jewish person, when they said, you know what, I'm going to talk to God right now, they did. They looked up. They said, God's up there. We're going to literally look up at the sky, and we are going to pray to God himself. And so they didn't close their eyes the way we do. It's nothing wrong about the way we do it, but just when you see that in Scripture, where someone looks up, raises their eyes towards heaven, that's the Bible's way of saying they're praying right now. Looked up at heaven and prayed. And listen to this. Father, the time has come. Now, guys, I'm going to walk you through this one. I got to do it this way. I'm sorry. When Jesus said that, the disciples would have been like, yes! Yes! Because if you track Jesus' ministry, all throughout his earthly ministry, people were trying to make him a king. They were trying to say, Jesus, it's your turn to overthrow the government. We want you to be in charge. And every time, he would say, my hour has not yet come. Now is not the time. That was always his response. Even at the beginning of the book of John, in chapter 2, when his mother said, Jesus, we're at this wedding. They ran out of wine. Like, really? That's going to be the first miracle for Jesus? They ran out of wine? And in his response to his mother was, woman, why do you concern me with this? My time has not yet come. So all throughout his ministry, the disciples have heard Jesus say, this is not the time, this is not the time, this is not the time. My hour has not come. And finally, he says these words, Father, the time has come. Yes! They had no idea what he meant. They had no idea that the time has come, what that meant as far as the crucifixion, and what that meant as far as his suffering. They had no idea. But Jesus did. And he says, Father, now is the time. The time has come. And then there's these words. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And when people say, by the way, Jesus never claimed to be God, that is him doing it. I'm glorifying you, Father, so you can glorify me. And all throughout this, there's this equivalence. There's this, Jesus is God, the Father is God, they're glorifying each other. And it says this, for you, let me back up. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Another reminder that Jesus is God, just as much as the Father in heaven is God. I have brought you glory on the earth by completing the work that you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Now, that may seem weird. I'm going to stop right here just for a minute. It may seem weird to us because as we're talking about intercession, as we're talking about writing ourselves into someone else's spiritual story, if you notice, Jesus just prayed for himself. That's how he started out the whole prayer. He's going to pray about me, pray about himself. And that always feels weird to us as American Christians because we sometimes feel weird in public praying for ourselves like it's selfish or something. But what Jesus is doing is really important. When it comes to us interceding into the lives of others, it is so important that we get this first piece. Because the first principle of intercessory prayer is this: Jesus aligned with the Father's mission. Jesus aligned with the Father's mission. And if you look closely, he said, Lord, I've done all of the work that you have given me to do. Jesus put the mission of his heavenly Father as the first and foremost thing that he was talking about. That was his goal, that was his objective, was to complete the mission he had been given. And I challenge you, if you go back through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see all the other times when Jesus would say, my hour has not yet come. Look at all of them. I challenge you to do this. Do your own study. Anytime you see Jesus saying, my hour has not yet come, or it's not the right time, anything like that, what you'll usually see is you will see someone else taking part of Jesus' mission and trying to make it the whole thing. Let me give you this example. Part of Jesus' ministry was he did miracles. He healed people. And what you would see is the disciples waking him up very early in the morning saying, Jesus, other people need miracles right now. Other people need healing. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to make that part of his mission the whole thing. And Jesus said, that's not why I'm here. Jesus said, I'm not just here to do miracles. I'm not just here to heal people. That's a part of the mission. It's not the whole thing. And Jesus would go and teach, and people would be in awe of his teaching and the authority with which he taught. And he would even say, that's not why I'm here. He who has an ear, let him hear. It was a way of saying, if you get it, you get it. If not, okay. Jesus is here to accomplish one mission. And teaching and preaching and mediating disputes and healing people and performing miracles and all those other things that he did, all of those things were part of this one mission and one mission only. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus' mission was to give eternal life to every human being that would receive it. That was his mission. And everything else he did supported that mission. There should be a lesson for that in us. Amen? Because how often do I try to make some other part of God's mission the whole thing? I love to teach. Here I am. This is not the whole mission of God. The whole mission of God is we bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they may have eternal life. And then we teach them so they can go out and repeat the same process again. The whole mission of Jesus Christ was that he might give eternal life to all that the Father had given him. And before he spent time in prayer, before he lifted up anyone else, His first step in prayer, Jesus' first step in prayer, was to make sure that he was again aligned with that mission of God. And so, my friends, I would submit for our consideration that if we want to be intercessors, if we want to be the church that prays for one another, it begins with aligning ourselves with the mission of God. He has come that we might have eternal life. That's the first goal. Everything else fits in under that somewhere else. And when I intercede, when I pray for someone that they might break an addiction or that they may save their family or that they may see a kid come back, all those things are good and godly and awesome things that center around the truth that God came so that all of the people I pray for might have eternal life. And can I be real honest? If I don't have eternal life in my soul, there's very little chance I can change any of the other things I might want to pray about. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that I have ever experienced that literally allows me to change. So if I want to intercede into the lives of others, if I want to lift them up, I need to first align myself with the Father's mission. That he came so we could have eternal life. But then Jesus keeps on praying. Check this out, verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything that you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words that you have given me. And they accepted them. That's pretty important, isn't it? I can speak from this book, I can speak from God's word all day. The question for me and the question for you is, do we just hear the words or do we also receive them? And usually the evidence that we have received the word of God is that my life changes as the result. Jesus has pretty simple math. You receive it, you do it, there it is. And he's saying the disciples have done that. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you had sent me, and I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus is praying for his immediate group of disciples, the 12 and probably a few others. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, verse 10. And glory has come to me through them. I want you just to dwell on that for just a second. Jesus is praying for his small group, his disciples, the people that he's been leading and mentoring, and the people who will take his word around the world. And look at that word. And glory has come to me, says Jesus, through them. How cool is that? God's glory comes through us. I just love that in the context of worship. He's glorified through us. Okay, sorry. Still moving on. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me, except, well, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture might be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, so that they too may be truly sanctified. Now guys, there's so much stuff here, we could probably preach three messages on that as well. But I want you to see this, okay? This is where we go with intercession. Jesus wrote himself into the disciples' story. And again, I encourage you, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will see that this group of men that Jesus goes out of his way, he calls each of them by name to follow him, they were messed up. They spent most of Jesus' life, and even a significant portion after he was raised, not getting it. They had selfish motives more often than not. And yet, look at the way Jesus prays for them. The love that he has for them, the promises that he has. Look at the things that Jesus was doing for them, even as they were a messed up bunch of guys following Jesus, probably for all the wrong reasons. Look at what he was doing. He was protecting them spiritually by the power of his name. He was passing his words on to them. I love that. So that they could have joy deep inside of them. One of the greatest things about serving Jesus is not that he wants us to be these sad and monotonous robots that just go out and do his will. He wants us to be his servants that he dearly loves, and he wants us to have the fullest measure of joy possible in our lives. Even in the face of death and destruction and persecution, we can still have the deep measure of joy. He wants that for us. And the idea of being sanctified, again, another huge church word that literally just means to be set apart. Jesus writes himself into our story that we may have joy, that we may know his word, that we may be protected, and through all that, to be set apart as his beloved children, as his dearly beloved ones. Jesus wrote himself into the story of these 12 guys. By the way, from a human perspective, it ended really badly for pretty much all of them. Many of them were martyred for their faith. Many of them were thrown in jail. And all of them through the end, even after Jesus was no longer with them, saying, I love Jesus. Jesus is my Lord at all costs. Because the creator of the universe had written himself into their story. Jesus was praying for his friends. So for us, my friends, if we want to do intercession, if we want to do intercessory prayer, this is what it is. The people that God has placed in your life, the ones that you love, write yourself into their story and pray for them. According to God's will, according to God's mission, pray for them. The ones who know Jesus, pray for them. The ones who don't know Jesus, definitely pray for them that they may know eternal life. Pray that God will send a messenger, someone who can share that message in a way that they can hear. Pray for them. And so my friends, it'd be great if this ended right here, right? Jesus praying for his small group of disciples. But what I love even more is that Jesus goes one step further. Check this out. In verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, it's interesting, out of all the things that Jesus could lift up and pray for, he's praying for us, right? All who may believe through the message that the disciples shared. That's us. And the thing that Jesus prays for us first and foremost is that we may have unity in him. Of all the things to pray for, that's the one he lifts up. Why? Because that's the thing we do wrong most often. Amen? That's why, my friends, it is so powerful what we did last week, because every single denomination, every single ethnicity, every single group that was there, we can find something to disagree with them about. Amen? But the thing that unites us is this, that Jesus Christ is our Lord. That, my friends, becomes a witness to the world when a group of broken, fragile, sinful human beings can say, my God is bigger than all of this. That's why we did what we did last week. Because it's not just about Evanston. It is not just about this congregation, as much as I love this congregation. It is about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And his prayer for us is that we may be unified. Check this out, verse 22. I have given them the glory that you have given me. Wow. That they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity. Why? To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. My friends, Jesus' prayer for us is very simple. May we demonstrate through our unity the love that God has among himself as the Trinity and the love that he has for us, which is so wonderful and measureless. When we stand together united as the Church of Jesus Christ, we stand together demonstrating to the world the God that loves them more than his own life. That's a powerful thing, my friends. So my challenge is that Jesus wants to write himself into your story as well. Jesus, as he was praying for the disciples, as he called them out of their old life and called them into something new, praying for them all the way, he's doing the same thing for us. Jesus wants to write himself into your story as well. And my challenge to us as a church is, may we be the church that prays for the people in our life the way that Jesus prayed for the people in his. Is that okay? Can we do that? That's what it means to be an interceding church, is we write ourselves spiritually into someone else's story. We lift them up in prayer all the time. We become the church that comes alongside each other and prays. Sometimes for no other reason than, you know what, I just had this really weird feeling from God that I should call you today. I just want to pray with you. Would that be okay? It's amazing how many times when that's happened to me, when people said, I don't know why you called right now, but I needed to hear this. I got nothing. It's a God thing. That's all it is. And when we step out to be the church, when we step out to say, you know what, the people that I love, I'm going to lift up in prayer, God suddenly starts to use us to minister to them in some amazing ways. For the life groups, I had shared this quote. This is Corrie Ten Boom. She has long since passed away. Those of you in life groups, sorry, a repeat, but for everyone else. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch woman living in the Netherlands in World War II. When she was a young woman, she and her father and sister saw the Nazis march into Holland. They were hiding Jews because they felt that they could not love God and turn away somebody in need who was going to be persecuted. And so they started hiding Jews, and eventually they were caught. And so Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent to one concentration camp. Her father was sent to a different concentration camp. Her father and her sister both perished in those places. She got out and started ministering to the people of Germany after the war, teaching forgiveness, teaching restoration. An amazing woman. And I love this quote from her where she says, "We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in his plan for the answer. If we are true intercessors, we must be ready to take part in God's work on behalf of the people for whom we pray." We must be ready to take part in God's work on behalf of the people for whom we pray. If we really want to be an interceding church, pray for the people in your life that you love. And be ready to be God's, well, to be part of God's answer to that prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we can call you Father. And Lord, I simply ask this of our church. Lord, would you please drop us to our knees that we can lift up everyone in our lives? Would you drop us to our knees that we could lift up others? Father, would you please use us in any way to be the answer to the prayers that we pray? Lord, would you please break our hearts so that we can be aligned with your mission, and drop us to our knees to pray for those we love? Lord, may we be known as a church that intercedes, as a church that prays for everyone. Father, we love you and we praise you, and we thank you in advance for using us to accomplish your will in the lives of others. And Father, at the end of all of that, when we drop to our knees in prayer, when we are used by you as the answer to those prayers in your timing, Father, we just ask that at the end of all that, would you take all the glory for yourself? Because we know it's not us. It's not our wisdom. It's not our eloquent prayers. We know that it is you who prays alongside of us, who works in us and through us and sometimes around us. So Father, we just ask that we could be the church that prays, and use us in any way to accomplish those prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friends, as God loves us and calls us, as God showers His grace upon us to make all that prayer even possible, would you please stand up and worship with us as we just celebrate that this is amazing grace.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Who shakes the whole earth?
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is a thrilling love that you would take.
Challenge our hearts this afternoon. Challenge our hearts this week.
to love others the way you love us. Because your love has come down and your love has done so much in our lives. Lord, let it be infectious. Let us share it this week. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Could not see the chains of sin had shackled me. The God in heaven heard my plea. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love.
Sing forever.